On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego. I'm down here at the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway. And on the line, we have Celtic great number 8, Antoine Walker. Antoine, first question for you. You had doubled down after the Celtics had gone down 3-2. How were you surprised by the outcome and how they kind of fell apart in those last three games?
I definitely was surprised. And obviously, I mean, you have 40 turnovers in two games against a team like Golden State. You're not going to win those battles. And that's what it really was. It boiled down to not being able to take care of the basketball. Something I thought the Celtics would do on a series was control the physicality of the series and where they would dominate the inside. And obviously they didn't do that as well as I thought they would do that. But and then to add to it, I thought – the Celtics' depth, and I said this before the series started, I thought the Celtics' depth will wear out Golden State. And Grant Williams, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, you know, Marcus Smart at times, those guys were not consistent enough throughout the series. And where Golden State others got better as the series went along, the Jordan Poole, the Gary Payton II, Otto Porter, Kevin Looney, those guys got better. Even Draymond Green played better in games 5 and 6 as well. So it's a number of things you could point at. But, you know, this is the first rodeo with this young group in the finals. I think they will have a chance to get back there. The group is young, and they lost against a team that had been there. That core three guys had been there. They knew what it took to win it, and they got it done.
So if it is their first rodeo, Antoine, and maybe we're being a little bit too critical, at least I am, with a lot of those bench players, do you think it's one of those things, it's just like, it's your first rodeo, let's not make any wholesale changes, let's just bring the same group of guys back and they'll be better this year because they'll have the experience and another year of growth underneath their belt, or do you think they need to completely make significant changes?
No, you don't make significant changes. I think that's what you know, sometimes teams and organizations panic, and they got a good core. Everybody, you probably won't be able to bring everybody back. I mean, for me, if I was to say the Celtics may need to add a piece to the team, you may want to get a traditional point guard. Not saying Marcus Smart did a bad job. I thought he was terrific this year. But it is times where you want to be able to get a point guard who can make a play, get in the lane, maybe get a couple lives to Robert Williams. You can diversify your offense a lot better. But also, guys got to get better. Jason Tatum has to get better. Jaylen Brown has to get better. Those guys got exposed at moments in the playoffs. They turned the basketball over way too much. You got to become a willing passer and trust your teammates, especially when you got a good team. So they got some things they have to work on too. So breaking up the team is something that should be far from what they're trying to do. They're in a good space right now to compete. Those guys know Udoka's system. They got an identity when you think about how good they were defensively. So they got a lot of great things going for them. This ain't the time to break it up.
We're talking to Antoine Walker. And, Antoine, you just mentioned Jason Tatum. We know he's young. It's his first NBA final. There's a lot on his plate. But is it safe to say that he was disappointing? I mean, the last fourth quarters, the last two or three games – didn't really show up in that fourth quarter, which is kind of what a lot of us had expected him to do.
Oh, of course it was disappointing. I thought he probably got over the hump when the Milwaukee series, when they went in game 6 in Milwaukee and he took over and had 40-plus points. I thought he knew that was the type of mentality that he has to have when you take it to that next level. So a little disappointing. He'll understand and watch film. When you're the best player on the team, I would have took Jason Tatum going 6-for-30 instead of shying away from the basketball, not being aggressive, not demanding the ball or trying to score the basketball. When you are the first option in 1A and you are first team All NBA, you have to separate yourself and you have to go down swinging. It's kind of like when Jimmy Butler pulled up and shot that three. You know, everybody wanted to give him grief, but that's what superstars do. He tried to end that series at that moment. He left it all out there. So I think that's what Jason's got to get to as he continues to grow as a superstar in this league.
Antoine, I want to back up to something you said just a few minutes ago about the Celtics needing a true point guard. Is that something that they should do kind of at the expense of having Marcus Smart on the roster? Jay Williams, he came out publicly, said he wants the Celtics to trade Smart for Malcolm Brogdon from the Pacers. What would your reaction to a trade like that be?
That would be terrible. You don't trade Marcus Smart. It's too valuable to a team. And you also went to the NBA Finals with Marcus Smart starting at point guard. So he definitely can play some point guard. You could do with Marcus. You could do a lot of different things with Marcus. He doesn't have to start. He could be your sixth man. He could, you know, he can guard one through four. It's just he does too much for your team. Malcolm Brogdon is a nice player. It's not necessarily saying that. I'm saying you have to get another playmaker out there. At times, I think, you know, when you get into this ISO basketball, which is Jalen and Jason are really good at, you know, sometimes it's easy to get something on the break and get something easy or run a pick and roll with your five-man Robert Williams, who's study approving it, maybe getting a lob, something of that nature. So I think Marcus Smart has to be on your team. He's too valuable. It should never be a trade talks with him going anywhere.
So we're talking to former Celtic Antoine Walker. So before you came on, Antoine, we were just talking about some of the rumors going on down with the Brooklyn Nets and, you know, Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets being at an impasse. And, you know, it feels like that whole squad is about to be officially broken up. So we're looking at Kevin Durant possibly being a Celtic. Is that something that do you think he has something left in the tank? Is that something that the Celtics should be involved in moving forward?
I mean, anytime, I definitely believe he has a lot left in the tank. I mean, and anytime you got an opportunity or an opportunity presents itself that you can get a Kevin Durant, obviously you take full advantage of it. Look what Golden State did. I mean, obviously a few years back, and they got two NBA titles out of it. So, I mean, obviously that's something you look at. If that comes across your table at some point there. But, you know, obviously, you know, Brooklyn was going to be at an impasse with Kyrie Irving as well. I mean, because that's not, this guy, you know, one thing about Kyrie, hasn't been reliable and doesn't play enough games. And you never know what you're going to get from him. So I think the Nets are a little reluctant in giving him a long-term deal. And Kyrie has the leverage as a player because he has a player option. So he can actually really walk out the door unless Kyrie is willing to do a sign and trade. So I can see that why that's an impasse down there.
Antoine, you know, all year long we've looked at a guy like Ime Udoka and praised him for turning this thing around and getting them, maybe some of these guys, to buy in, get out rid of some of those bad habits. But we've kind of forgotten that finals that he indeed was a rookie coach as well. Do you think that kind of came back a little bit? Did you see that with him versus Steve Kerr? Kerr making adjustments and these Celtics teams just continually not making adjustments themselves?
Yeah, you saw a little bit of it. I thought he did a terrific job, but Steve Kerr, a veteran guy who's been there, one of the greatest coaches that we've had in this league, did make some adjustments. I think, you know, just immediately taking Kevin Looney out the starting lineup and starting Otto Porter Jr., I thought that was a subtle change just so they could have another scorer on the floor and not have Looney and Draymond Green on the floor together and just kind of playing those guys at the five. That was a great subtle change. I mean, and obviously the bench guys – the Gary Paytons and the Jordan Pools, those guys played huge as the series went along. One thing I would have liked to see if Udoka did is when you got two young guys at the wing, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they got to be willing to go 45, 46 minutes. I thought he stayed with his bench players too long. I thought that Derek White and, you know, Grant Williams, those guys probably played a little bit too much. I would have shortened my rotation up because they are young. And relied on my stars to try to carry me.
I want to go back to Kyrie for a minute because, okay, you know, if this was a soap opera, then Kyrie definitely goes to the Lakers to rejoin LeBron, joins AD. Do you think, aside from any past that he might have with LeBron or friendships there or whatever, or, you know, mended fences, how do you see that working basketball-wise? If those three teamed up out in L.A., would they be title favorites?
Oh, without question, his basketball and skill set is second to none. This is one of the top point guards to ever play the game. So if you can add him, I mean, obviously a team goes up. I mean, your value and chance to win a championship goes up right away. The problem is you don't know what Kyrie Irving's commitment to basketball is, mm-hmm. and commitment to winning. The guy just hasn't played enough for me to give him a big long-term deal. If he's willing to take a 1 to maybe a 2-year deal, why not take that chance then? Because obviously you're going to have a chance to win a title. But until he shows me a commitment that he's willing to do that, I don't think no team is going to be willing to give him max money unless they are in a desperate state. And there's a couple of teams that may want to try that and think they can change him. But that'd be taking a big risk.
So we're talking to Antoine Walker. And Antoine, just, you know, now that the, you know, playoffs are over and you got the Golden State Warriors, you know, having their parade, if you think about some of the villains and the people that, you know, the players that just rubbed me the wrong way, give me a player that you hated going against, either because he was just talking too much smack or, yeah, really, let's go the smack route. Because, you know, good players you go against all the time, but the irritating guy that just won't shut the hell up.
For me, I would probably have to say it was Kenyon Martin. You know, though, me and Kenyon Martin, obviously, we battled each other and we played them a couple times in the playoffs, but he just really got up under my skin. But we had some very great competitive battles throughout the years, but that was the one guy, if I could just really off the top of my head pick out, that really bothered me throughout the season.
All right, Antoine, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again next season. That was Antoine Walker joining us on the Harbor One Hotline.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.